The Truth News Network. Getting tired of only spin while looking for just the news? No spin, just truth. Every day on TNN, the Truth News Network. Here's your host, Dan Newman.
And today we go straight to the meat of our discussion. Robert Mueller unmasked, the final chapter, part four. For those of you who may not remember, this is from Congressman Louie Gohmert, Republican from Texas, who was an attorney, a criminal attorney, a judge, and has served for a long time now in the U.S. House of Representatives. He has had many interactions with former FBI Director Robert Mueller, who is now the special counsel investigating President Trump for his campaign and or himself colluding with Russians to assist him to win the 2016 presidential election. In the first three chapters of this story, we laid a lot of groundwork. We, specifically Congressman Gohmert. If you haven't read or listened to parts one, two, or three, I urge you to do so before you participate in today's show. There's a lot of groundwork there, and today's show is not going to be nearly as long as parts one, two, and three, but we have a summary at the end, a purely opinion from this host at the end of the show today. Let's get right to it. Special Prosecutor Mueller hired extremely biased attorneys and investigators who worked to stomp the Trump election. Through it all, Mueller's modus operandi does not seem to have ever changed. He has hired nine Democrat-supporting lawyers and no Republicans. Sure, all attorneys likely have political views, and that's not a problem so long as they do not affect their job. But not a single Republican was worthy of Mueller's attention. Were there no establishment Republicans who wanted to join him in railroading President Trump? Mueller's handpicked team of Democrats reveal political views that distinctly conflict with Trump and the conservative agenda, raising questions about Mueller's bias and his ability to conduct a fair investigation. At least nine members of Mueller's team made significant contributions to Democrats or Democratic campaigns, while none contributed to Trump's campaign, and only James Quarles contributed to Republicans in a much smaller amount than what he gave to Democrats. Analysis of Federal Election Commission records shows that Andrew Weissman, Jeannie Rhee, Andrew Goldstein, James Quarles, Elizabeth Preloger, Greg Andrus, Brandon Van Grack, Rush Atkinson, and Kyle Freeney all contributed over $50,000 in donations to Democrats, including Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama's presidential campaigns, various Democratic non-presidential candidates, and the Democratic National Convention. Mueller also has surprisingly strong personal ties to a number of the lawyers he hired. Three former partners with Mueller at the Boston law firm of Wilmer Hale are on the payroll: Aaron Zebley, Jeannie Rhee, and James Quarles. In addition to strong personal ties to Mueller, many of the attorneys have potential conflicts in working for persons directly connected to the people and issues being investigated. Jeannie Rhee represented Ben Rhodes, ex-Obama National Security Advisor, and the Clinton Foundation in a 2015 racketeering lawsuit, as well as Hillary Clinton in a lawsuit probing her private emails. Aaron Zebley, former chief of staff to Mueller while director of the FBI, represented Justin Cooper in the Clinton email scandal as he was responsible for setting up Clinton's private email server. He admitted to physically damaging Clinton's old mobile devices. Andrew Goldstein joined the team after working under major Trump critic Preet Bharara in the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York. Bharara became a strong critic after Trump fired him as Obama holdover and spoke on ABC News that, quote, there's absolutely evidence to launch an obstruction of justice case against Trump's team with regard to the Russia probe. Does he sound a little prejudiced? Andrew Weissman, notoriously a tough prosecutor previously accused of prosecutorial overreach, has a less than stellar career after various courts reversed his prosecutions due to his questionable conduct and tactics. As director of the Enron Task Force, Wiseman shattered the Arthur Andersen LLP accounting firm and destroyed over 85,000 jobs. In 2005, the conviction was reversed by the U.S. Supreme Court. In other words, the only true crime in the case was the murderous destruction of 85,000 jobs and the lives of those employees and their families that they ruined. Wiseman's next conviction threw four Merrill Lynch executives into prison without bail for a year, only to be reversed by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Wiseman subsequently resigned from the Enron Task Force, a suspiciously timely move, as the public eye had just caught sight of the way he operates. Additionally, Wiseman has unsightly political ties, having attended Clinton's election night celebration in New York. He also sent an email to Acting Attorney General Sally Yates praising her boldness on the night she was fired for refusing to enforce President Trump's travel ban. President Trump was trying to enforce the law. Wiseman was trying to enforce his bigotry against Trump and other Republicans. Peter Strzok was removed from Mueller's team after more than 10,000 texts between him and former Mueller investigator Lisa Page were found to contain vitriolic anti-Trump tirades. They were not simply anti-Trump. They were more in the nature of desperate attempts to stop him from becoming president and talk of a nefarious insurance policy to orchestrate his removal if he were elected. And then the General Michael Flynn story. Michael Flynn is a man who was caught up in manufactured controversy from the moment he stepped into his role in the Trump administration. The circumstances surrounding his takedown have become one of the more puzzling aspects of the Trump-Russia investigation. His career took him from 3 decades in the U.S. Army to overseeing the Pentagon's military intelligence operation and directing the Defense Intelligence Agency. Flynn was more than qualified to act as the first national security advisor in a new administration. However, his influence and zeal made him a clear target for the Trump-Russia investigation. As a strong supporter and friend of Donald Trump from the onset, he campaigned and publicly supported then-candidate Trump throughout 2016. As best as I can sort it out through the media hype and hysteria, having no firsthand knowledge like the rest of America, after the successful election during the transition period in December of 2016, Flynn reportedly conversed with a Russian ambassador. He was accidentally swept up in an intelligence foreign surveillance recording. When this happens, the names of American citizens are supposed to be masked in the transcripts. Somehow, Flynn's name was magically unmasked, which apparently allowed the Obama administration to peruse his meetings and conversations. Parts of the classified transcript of that conversation were leaked to the media by rogue deep state lawbreakers, criminals, who Mueller seems completely disinterested in. This appears to be what fueled the media-driven narrative of Trump campaign collusion with Russia, because Flynn had a discussion with the Russian ambassador, which conversation is absolutely legal and advisable. A media-generated doubt clouded Flynn's reputation, as the discussion was long reported as having taken place during the campaign, which could possibly be illegal, but was later proven to have been after the election and during the transition, which should not have been illegal. After a complete pounding of media-driven hysteria in mid-February of 2017, Flynn resigned, having served only 23 days as National Security Advisor. Mueller targeted Flynn using illicitly gathered and leaked foreign intelligence and surveillance as his evidence. 9 months later, after Flynn and his family were subjected to Mueller's usual threats and intimidation, a financially exhausted Flynn entered a guilty plea on one count of lying to the FBI, the result of a Mueller technique perjury trap he was used on Scooter Libby and Martha Stewart. What is Flynn guilty of? He apparently misremembered a conversation that took place 33 days previously. The FBI had a transcript of that conversation and already knew what information was there. They went into a conversation with Flynn, not seeking answers to questions, but to try to trip him up on exact statements made in a conversation when they were already in possession of the transcript. Flynn's unmasking has become the center of a controversy wherein those transcripts were procured under exceedingly questionable circumstances before a judge who had a questionable and undisclosed relationship with part of Mueller's team. That judge was appointed to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, the secretive court created by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that allows federal law enforcement to seek secretive warrants to surveil foreign persons outside of the United States who were suspected of terrorism. But the Obama administration and Mueller seem to find it much more politically expedient to use the secret court to go after Americans who were part of the Trump team for actions that did not occur while they were part of the Trump campaign team. Strange goings on. One could argue that Judge Rudolph Contreras, the federal judge who accepted Flynn's guilty plea, conveniently misremembered that he also served on the FISA court as a judge and conveniently misremembered his friendship with the FBI agent whose interview was used as evidence against Flynn. As it turns out, the FBI interview notes of that very encounter with Flynn may exonerate Michael Flynn, crushing Mueller's case against him, not to mention the highly questionable hearing before a judge who may well have been recused much too late to save the Flynn prosecution. One quick note here, though. Michael Flynn has lost everything. Lost his home, lost his reputation, lost his career. Wow. A FISA judge too close to the government agents involved. The FISA court is built upon the principle that highly delicate cases dealing with government surveillance of foreign agents and officials would be handled in an unbiased and respectful environment where secrecy at all costs was critical. There is supposed to be an added precaution to prevent any potential for bias in a FISA judge by having a rotation of those judges. That is why it is such a shock to find out now that Mueller's case against Michael Flynn would happen to end before the randomly selected, very dear, close personal friend of FBI Special Agent Peter Strzok, who hated President Trump with a passion, as evidenced in his text messages with colleague and paramour Lisa Page. U.S. District Court Judge Rudolph Contreras, or Rudy, as Strzok likes to refer to him, should have recused himself from such a highly sensitive case involving the ultimate attempted removal of the duly elected president of the United States, who happened to be despised by the very people who by law were required to prosecute with fairness. He was later forced to recuse himself and be removed from the Flynn proceedings without public explanation. This forced recusal was an unmistakable indication that he never should have been involved in the Michael Flynn plea agreement. Judge Contreras' conflict of interest has yet to be explained by the court. Contreras is one of only three local FISA court judges, and by default is likely one of the judges who have on four occasions approved the Title I surveillance of another character in this melodrama, Carter Page. This is the case where the FBI is known to have intentionally misled the FISA court by using as evidence the illustrious Steele dossier, a sordid opposition research document paid for by Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign and the Democratic National Committee. Oh, what a tangled web of crime Special Prosecutor Mueller's team appears to have helped weave, and of which Mueller appears to be completely disinterested, all while he searches high and low for an elusive crime to pin on the president. Mueller ignores apparently provable crimes involving the Clinton campaign, the FBI, the FISA court, and the intelligence communities. Strategically timed leaks of selective classified information are being used to target individuals for investigation in order to create the appearance of some sinister crime having been committed. Upon closer scrutiny, the cases fall apart. Yet, slam dunk federal criminal cases of leaking classified material are going on under Mueller's nose and by those within his purview and his team. When we think of all the leaks from Mueller's investigation, it brings to mind Wilford Brimley's quote from Absence of Malice. You call what's going on around here a leak? Boy, the last time there was a leak like this, Noah built himself a boat. Case in point, Eric Prince. As Lee Smith put it in a recent article from tabletmag.com, Robert Mueller's Beltway cover-up. News that special counsel Robert Mueller has turned his attention to Eric Prince's January 11, 2017 meeting in the Seychelles with a Russian banker, a Lebanese-American political fixer, and officials from the United Arab Emirates helps clarify the nature of Mueller's work. It's not an investigation that the former director of the FBI is leading. Rather, it's a cover-up. Mueller is said to believe that the Prince meeting was to set up a back channel with the Kremlin. But that makes no sense. According to the foundational text of the collusion narrative, the dossier allegedly written by former British spy Christopher Steele, the Kremlin had cultivated Trump himself for years. So what's the purpose of a back channel when Vladimir Putin already had a key to the front door of Mar-a-Lago? Further, the collusion thesis holds that the Trump circle teamed with high-level Russian officials for the purpose of winning the 2016 election. How does a meeting that Eric Prince had a week before Trump's inauguration advance the crooked election victory plot? It doesn't. It contradicts it. The writer goes on to point out that serious crimes have been committed that Mueller is purposefully ignoring. Prince was thrown into the middle of Russiagate after an April 3, 2017 Washington Post story reported his meeting with a Russian banker. But how did anyone know about the meeting? After the story came out, Prince said he was shown specific evidence by sources from the intelligence community that the information was swept up in the collection of electronic communications and his identity was unmasked. The U.S. official or officials who gave his name to the post broke the law when they leaked classified intelligence. Unless the Washington Post has somehow miraculously recruited the bartender of a hotel in the Seychelles, Prince told the House Intelligence Committee in December, the only way that's happening is through signals intelligence. Prince's name was unmasked and leaked from classified signals intelligence. Oddly enough, it's the same modus operandi used in the targeting of President Trump, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. It is a federal felony to publish leaked classified information. Ask WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange about that particular unequal application of the law. The deep state felons who are strategically leaking this information have politically weaponized our justice system and should be brought up on charges of high treason for their attempts, with malice aforethought, to manufacture the overthrow of a duly elected president of the United States. The leaks and publication of classified information alone warrant investigation and prosecution to the fullest extent of the law in this matter. Yet Mueller is uninterested in those crimes, even as they go to the very heart of the credibility of the supposed justification of his investigative mandate. Yet, as I've demonstrated here, the man put in charge of the investigation of this Russia collusion case, Robert Mueller, has perfected the art of abuse of the justice system for personal and political gain. He is uninterested in any criminal activity that does not further his cause of damaging this president. If you think that is harsh, consider the criminality of the FISA court abuses by the Obama Department of Justice and the Obama FBI. We have all heard ad nauseum about the infamous Steele dossier, the opposition research document paid for by the Clinton campaign that was used to manufacture the Russia collusion narrative and spark what became the Mueller investigation into our president. On June 18, 2017, Mueller protege and disgraced former FBI Director James Comey testified in front of the U.S. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence about the Clinton campaign-funded document, telling Congress that the document was, and this is a quote, salacious and unverified. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA, created a court called the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court to allow secret warrants to surveil agents of foreign governments, be they U.S. citizens or non-U.S. actors. In October of 2016, the Obama DOJ FBI successfully applied for one of those secret warrants to surveil Carter Page, a short-time Trump campaign volunteer. Since these warrants against U.S. citizens are outside of the bounds of the Constitution, they have to be renewed by applying to the court every 90 days after the first warrant application is approved. These secret warrants are so serious, they have to be signed off on at the highest levels. The applications in question would have been signed off by Obama administration FBI and DOJ officials, including then FBI Director James Comey. At least one of the renewal applications would have been signed off on by our current Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein. At the time of signing, they all would have had the knowledge and or the professional and legal duty to know that the dossier was used as evidence and also had the legal duty to know the evidence origins. The same would apply to the knowledge of the penalty for submitting unverified information to the FISA court for the purpose of obtaining a warrant. It is a crime to submit under the color of law an application to the FISA court that contains unverified information. That's 50 U.S. Code Section 1809. Comey's salacious and unverified testimony before the Senate occurred 8 months after the Clinton campaign-funded dossier was used in the first successful FISA court app to obtain a surveillance warrant against Carter Page, a Trump campaign volunteer for several months. The House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence examined the documentation submitted to the court and concluded that the unverified information contained in the Steele dossier was in fact used in the FISA court application without disclosing to the court that it was an opposition research document paid for by Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee. Neither the initial application in October of 2016 nor any of the renewals disclose or reference the role of the DNC, the Clinton campaign, or any party or campaign in funding Steele's efforts, even though the political origins of the Steele dossier were then known to senior DOJ and FBI officials. The timing of the applications, the inclusion of material the DOJ and FBI knew to be unverified at the time, and the successful result after this fraudulent inclusion speak to the level of criminal corruption of those who sought to destroy Donald Trump's candidacy and still seek to destroy his presidency when their initial efforts failed. The widespread abuse of the FISA-authorized court, the FISA court itself, was laid bare in a court memorandum of review of these abuses that was declassified in 2017 that went virtually unnoticed by the media because it didn't fit their narrative. Please go to the link just beyond the sentence I just read to you on the homepage with the story and read that report yourself. These are serious crimes that, left unchecked, lead nations down the path to tyranny at the hands of people who think they know better than we do what is best for us. It's an age-old struggle America's founding fathers knew well and did everything they could to keep us from experiencing. The FISA court judges themselves have a duty to police their own courts and call to account these bad actors who, by all facts in the documentation I've personally seen, have committed a fraud upon the court. If these judges do not have the integrity to self-police in this matter, we in Congress must hold them accountable using the power granted to us in the Constitution. Congress has created every single federal court in the country except the Supreme Court. We have the duty to phase out, then disband the FISA court while developing a better solution to address the authorization of this sort of surveillance of foreign agents and actors. We have got to clean up the mess that the Obama administration showed is far too easy to create. If you want answers, and you can handle the truth, join me, that's Congressman Gohmert, in demanding those answers from special counsel Robert Mueller, along with his resignation. If he were to resign, it could well be the only truly moral, ethical, and decent action Mueller has undertaken in this entire investigation. And that concludes part four of the Mueller investigation. The truth about Robert Mueller is presented by Texas Congressman Louis Gohmert. We'll be back in 1 minute. We have some very important things to say to you about this summary. You sit tight. That's just ahead at the Truth News Network.
How can we say when you book direct at choicehotels.com, you always get the lowest price in our rooms, guaranteed?
Let's get someone to say it with a really low voice. Carl?
Lowest price guaranteed.
What about the world's lowest limbo stick?
How low can you go?
Nice one, Carl.
Hey, I've got an idea. Just say bada book, bada boom.
Bada book, bada boom.
Nice.
Always the lowest price guaranteed. Book now at choicehotels.com.
Dear Daddy, dear Mom,
I love you.
I miss you.
Every year, Snowball Express honors the children of fallen soldiers. Hi, everybody. I'm Tony Orlando. Join me in proudly supporting Snowball Express, a nonprofit that creates opportunities to help heal the children of our fallen heroes. We can never repay the sacrifice our soldiers have made, but we can honor them by giving back to their children. Donate now at snowballexpress.org.
Getting tired of only spin while looking for just the news?
No spin,
just truth. Read and hear it every day on TNN, the Truth News Network, only at dnewman.org.
I want to thank you so much for listening. It's been a pleasure to bring you the four parts of this investigation, this look-see into the real facts about Special Counsel, former FBI Director Robert Mueller. And I've got a few editorial comments I want to make about this entire thing. You know, there are a lot of people that call people who think there's a lot more going on behind the scenes than what the public is hearing from the mainstream media and even conservative media outlets like Breitbart News and Fox News. You know what? We're not conspiracy theorists. We're just realists. There is so much going on. It is unbelievable how political correctness and political narrative and political agenda and identity politics is playing into the lives of people that are really good people that are in service to the country, that have volunteered their service. And I could give you name after name after name after name that are denigrated because they're conservatives, or denigrated because they have conservative ideals, or that they're committed to the legal and righteous operation of our representative democracy government. It's a shame that those people have been in charge of our lives and have taken our tax dollars, trillions of tax dollars, and have spent them on politically correct agenda items that have nothing to do with the betterment of our country or the American people. They fill their own pockets and the pockets of their friends and people who are political contributors to their causes in just horrible, horrible ways. The unrighteousness, the wrongdoing, the illegal activities that are buried. It's just amazing that this exists to this day in the greatest country on earth and the greatest country in world history, that is a Christian-founded country that is supposed to provide liberty, justice, and freedom for all, not based on political agenda, political ideology, religion, social thinking. It's supposed to be based on the rule of law, the United States Constitution. Evil men have always, throughout history, found a way to further their own agendas. And the best way to do it is to hide. Robert Mueller has been hiding. His actions, I don't know the man personally. I cannot discuss him on a personal level at all. Congressman Louis Gohmert had that right because he had personal interaction with Robert Mueller over and over and over again. I can't do that. But the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, we speak. And what we do from what we speak tells what kind of people we really are. Robert Mueller has abused power. He's destroyed the lives of numerous people. He has put people in jail that have later been released. He's got people as evil or more evil than him working on his staff with one purpose and one purpose only in this investigation. And the truth is not their purpose. The truth is, at all cost, to kick Donald Trump out of the White House in total disregard to the fact that he is the duly elected president by the rules of the U.S. Constitution. The American people put Donald Trump in the White House. And it's just unbelievable that there are people that think they can use the system, the very system that has made this country what it is, and break this rule and that rule, and break this law and that law, and do anything as serious as what we're looking at to impact forever the foundation of this country. All of those people, every person that Congressman Gohmert mentioned in this story, they work for you and I. They're supposed to be working for us, the American people, and not for any political cause or any personal or political agenda. And it must stop. How can it be stopped? Well, we the people are the only ones that have the power to do it. And here's what I got to say. You know that I voted for Donald Trump, and I am a very conservative Republican. I don't like a lot of the president's messaging. I don't like some of the things he says or the way he says it. But here's what I do know. He was put in office by the people for a purpose. And the purpose is to undo all of this evil that we've been talking about the last 4 days and a whole lot more. That Americans who aren't caught up in the fray of the political process, but live our everyday lives watching what goes on in Washington, D.C. and around the world, and try to compare and reconcile all of that with what we face in our lives, our businesses, our families, our relationships, where we live. Every part of what we discussed and Congressman Gohmert spelled out impacts our lives on a personal level. And we don't like the direction it was going. We don't like the fact that the government has the ability to make itself even bigger and grow it beyond comprehension and recognition. It has nothing, it looks like nothing, that our founders created it to be. Working for the people, operating by the people. We're not operating it. The politically elite in Washington, D.C., in New York, in L.A., they have figured out a way to use the system against us. Folks, I've said this before, we're on a slippery slope, and the ship has got to be righted, and righted quickly. I don't know how far down that slope we can go, and I don't know how far down that slope we already are. But if we, the people, want America to look like the nation that we were born in and we've grown up in, and our parents the same, we have got to demand the rule of law be put back in place by those 535 people that we voted to represent us. We did not elect them to go to Congress and represent themselves, their campaign contributors, or anyone other than the American people. And the American people support the rule of law. Make yourself heard. Say something. Do something. Let people know how you feel about all of this, because it pertains to you, your family, your businesses, where you worship. It's unbelievable that people are taking it away from us. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of the Truth News Network. We'll talk again soon. Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Undeniably the go-to source for nonpartisan, spin-free news from the world. TNN, the Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org.